turn with me tonight to Mark chapter 5. Mark chapter 5, we'll read from verse 25. And a certain woman which had an issue of blood 12 years, and had suffered many things of many physicians, and had spent all that she had, and was nothing bettered, but rather grew worse. When she had heard of Jesus, came in the press behind and touched his garment. For she said, If I may touch but his clothes, I shall be whole. And straightway the fountain of her blood was dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed of that plague. And Jesus, immediately knowing in himself that virtue had gone out of him, turned him about in the press, and said, Who touched my clothes? And his disciples said unto him, Thou seest the multitude thronging thee, and sayest thou, Who touched me? And he looked round about to see her that had done this thing. But the woman, fearing and trembling, knowing what was done in her, came and fell down before him, and told him all the truth. And he said unto her, Daughter, thy faith hath made thee whole. Go in peace, and be whole of thy plague. Dear congregation, eternity is before us. What a blessing to know. All is well. Are you at peace tonight? Has the Prince of Peace spoken to your soul? Consider how the Prince of Peace spake to this lady in verse 34. Daughter, thy faith hath made thee whole. Go in peace and be whole of thy plague. And that woman went forth in peace, knowing all was well. Has the Prince of Peace spoken to your soul? Are you at peace tonight? Well, tonight we consider again the one who touched the garment of Jesus. And here particularly, in verse 33, we notice that there at the feet of Jesus, she is trembling and she is fearful. However, there was nothing to fear, as Jesus makes plain, Daughter, thy faith hath made thee whole. Go in peace and be whole of thy plague. And as we saw last week, this woman was in a sad state. She had an uncommon issue of blood, a flowing, a flux of blood, which had lasted for 12 years. In verse 29, we're given a little more detail, and straightway the fountain of her blood was dried up. This fountain, a spring, a gushing. And it was known as a plague, as we see there in verse 29. A plague that would affect her so much, this plague had touched her, as we see in the Greek, and it was affecting her. It would bring her much discomfort and pain, and it was a great inconvenience for these long 12 years. It was a hindrance to her day-to-day living. And as the years passed, as we saw last week, things got worse and worse. Oh, what a picture we have here of the plague of sin, the disease of sin, that also had affected this lady. In Isaiah 1, verse 5 through to verse 6, we read, Why should you be stricken any more? Will you revolt more and more? The whole head is sick, and the whole heart faint, from the sole of the foot, even unto the head, there is no soundness in it, but wounds and bruises and putrefying sores that have not been closed, neither bound up, neither mollified with ointment. Oh, what a state man is in by nature. What a state this lady was in by nature. Oh, what sin has done. We only have to look out, don't we not, today. And we bear witness to what sin has done in this world. We're facing war in Europe again. Oh, what sin has done in this world. How sin has affected man. There is total depravity. Sin has affected the whole of man. Every faculty or part of the soul, the will, the mind, the conscience, the memory, the affection. Oh, what sin has done. And as we considered last week, the lady did not get better. The men of themselves do not get better. It is the slippery path of sin. As we consider her situation, she had to be separate We read of it in Leviticus 15, verse 25 and verse 31. She did not know fellowship. Sin has brought about separation. So many people in this nation and in this neighbourhood do not know fellowship with God. Oh, what sin has done. However, this lady was drawn to Jesus. And we take note of faith's humble touch here before us in this chapter. She heard of Jesus. She was drawn to Jesus. Faith was put within her heart, and she went and touched the garment of Jesus and was made whole. Well, through faith, one embraces Christ. We sang this morning, "Kiss the Son." Through faith, one kisses the Son. For we read later, "Blessed is everyone that trusteth in him." Through faith, one embraces Christ. There's the hand of faith to embrace Christ. This lady, she touched the garment of Jesus. But consider also, by faith, she had embraced Christ. She went to Jesus, having been drawn by grace. Oh, have you gone to him? Jesus says, "Come unto me, O ye that labour and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." Come. In that initial way, go. And then we who love the Lord, keep going by faith. Place your trust in him, exercise faith, and know that nearness of Christ. Well, this lady, she went forth. She touched the garment of Jesus, and she wasn't turned away. For those who go to Jesus, they can be assured he will welcome. Let's just turn over to chapter 6, and we see this here in verse 56. "And whithersoever he entered, into villages or cities or country, they laid the sick in the streets, and besought him that they might touch, if it were but the border of his garment. And as many as touched him were made whole." They weren't turned away. And we see there plainly again, the one who goes to Jesus by faith will not be turned away. Whether they are in the city, the town, the country, or the village. "All that the Father giveth me shall come to me. And him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out." He did not turn this lady away. He did not turn others away. He will turn no one away who goes to him humbly by way of faith. Well, last week we considered her condition, and then secondly, the touch. I'd like us tonight to consider, first of all, at the feet of Jesus, confessing all. And then secondly, at the feet of Jesus, blessed by him. Well, first of all then, at the feet of Jesus, confessing all. Notice verse 33. Here in Mark chapter 5. "And the woman, fearing and trembling, knowing what was done in her, came and fell down before him and told him all the truth." Now it's interesting, isn't it? If you follow this through, the lady in verse 27, she hears of Jesus and she comes behind and touches his garment and she's made whole. And later we read in verse 33, "But the woman, fearing and trembling, knowing what was done in her, came and fell down before him." She was such a humble lady. She went and touched his garment. But she drew back then. That's plain, isn't it? But when the Lord looks round, about to see her that had done this thing in verse 32, she comes now down before him and tells him all the truth. What a humble lady. But you notice here she was in verse 33, down before him, fearful and trembling. There she was at his feet, fearful and trembling, and she confesses all to him. What a blessing to be at the feet of Jesus, there in a humble way. Having been brought in an initial way, in a humble way, having nothing to boast of. Think of this lady, she comes behind, she doesn't want to be seen, she feels her unworthiness, but she goes, and now she's at the feet, humble, The one who truly goes to Jesus by faith has been made humble. Pride has been dealt with. And what a blessing to be there again and again as a believer now, humbly looking to him. Consider again, this lady knew the law of separation in Leviticus 15, verses 25 through to verse 31. She knew she was unclean, but she goes, she's drawn to Jesus, and there she humbly is. She touches his garment. In verse 30, we read, Jesus, immediately knowing in himself that virtue had gone out of him, turned him about in the press and said, Who touched my clothes? And his disciples said unto him, Thou seest the multitude thronging thee, and sayest thou, Who touched me? And he looked round about to see her that had done this thing. He's looking at the lady, and she's fearful. But she goes down there before him at his feet. And she confesses all. She tells him all the truth. She doesn't keep anything back. She confesses all. She confesses how long she's been in this state for these 12 years. That she's known such trouble and difficulty for those long 12 years. She confesses that she tried other ones, other physicians. She had spent her money. She confesses how sorrowful and upset she had been. But then she tells him that she had been made whole. But also then she tells him of her own unworthiness and her sin. She confesses all. Just notice verse 33, but the woman, fearing and trembling, knowing what was done in her, came and fell down before him and told him all the truth. Have you spoken to Jesus? What comfort we considered this morning. Remember on the Mount of Transfiguration, those disciples, they were fearful. The Lord came and touched them. Arise. He came near. Oh, have you known a little of the nearness of Jesus? And have you told him all the truth? I remember telling Jesus for the first time many years ago, one spring evening, I'm a sinner. Forgive me my sin. I've done wrong. I said it humbly to the Lord. I told him I was a sinner. Have you? Have you been there at his feet in a spiritual way? And you've confessed your sins. She told him all the truth. She didn't keep anything back. We can't hide from the Lord, can we? Remember in the Garden of Eden, Adam and Eve sought to hide themselves. But there the Lord, he went forth. They couldn't hide. There's nowhere to hide, is there? Remember Jonah, he tried to run away, but he couldn't really run away. Yes, in the close presence of the Lord that was known in the land of Israel. But he couldn't get away from God, and we cannot get away from God. He knows everything, so have we told him? Just think of this lady here at his feet. She fell down before him and told him all the truth. Have you told him you're a sinner? You've done wrong. And I need thee, Lord Jesus. Others cannot help me, but thou can help me. But consider further the other things she told him. How she had been upset and sorrowful. And she told him also of what had happened, that she had been made whole, as we note there in verse 29. What a blessing to tell Jesus what he has done for the soul. Can you tell Jesus tonight? Thou didst love me. Thou didst die on the cross for me. Thou didst rise again for me. Thou didst ascend up into heaven for me in the time of love. When thou wert saving, thou didst draw near to me. Can you tell Jesus tonight that he's done these things for your soul? You who love the Lord, you can. You can tell him in thankfulness, Lord, thou didst die for me at Calvary. In such love, thou didst hang on that cross. thou hast shed thy blood for me. Thou didst rise again, and thou wast thinking of me when thou didst rise again. Thou art in heaven. Thou didst go as a forerunner. Thou hast led the way for me. Can you tell him that his precious blood was put to me, and my sins were pardoned? And through him keeping the law perfectly, I have been accepted. Can you tell Jesus these things? You think of the lady here. She tells Jesus that she's been made whole. Can you tonight, dear brothers and sisters, you tell Jesus now what he has done for your soul? He knows. He knew what he had done for this lady, but the lady told him. Let me hear thy voice, he says in the Song of Solomon 2, verse 14. He's waiting to hear you. Oh, what a blessing to be able to tell Jesus that he saved my soul. Tell him. You consider the lady again. She tells him of what was worrying her for so long. She was troubled. She told him everything. You tell him everything. Maybe your sorrows at this present time. What is troubling you? I used to bottle things up. But there was a time after a while I would go and tell my mother, particularly, and tell him. What a blessing to go and tell Jesus. Are you struggling? Are you perplexed? Go and tell Jesus. He knows, but he wants to hear you. He's ready to hear you. People can be unkind to you. Go and tell Jesus. People can laugh at you. Go and tell Jesus. Sadly, others can look down on reformed churches. Go and tell the king. You may be mocked for holding to the old paths. Go and tell the king who knows best. You may be hurt, cast down, go to his feet. He's waiting for you. Here she is. She tells him all the truth. Tell him about your sin. Ask for fatherly forgiveness. Tell him what he has done for your soul. Tell him what is perplexing you. Tell him that you're thankful. Don't keep back. Tell him everything. He's waiting to hear. One of Ord wrote, can we find a friend so faithful? Who will all our sorrows share? Jesus knows our every weakness. Take it to the Lord in prayer. You go. He's not far away, is he? In a special way, he's here. You go. But he's also with us day by day. You go. In a spiritual way, get down on your knees at the feet of Jesus and pour out your heart in thanksgiving, but also pour out all your sorrows, your concerns, your fears. She was fearful. She was trembling. You tell him everything. There's no need to fear. At the feet of Jesus, telling him everything. What a blessing. To be able to tell Jesus what he has done for my soul. It's good to tell others, isn't it? The lady that feared the Lord spake often, one to another, to speak to other Christians of what the Lord has done. But first of all, tell Jesus. He knows, but tell him what he has done for your soul. And then tell him everything about your situation, about your life, your worries. Tell it all to him. Tell him all the truth. At his feet. But secondly tonight, consider at the feet of Jesus with peace in the soul. At the feet of Jesus with peace in the soul. Verse 33, but the woman, fearing and trembling, knowing what was done in her, came and fell down before him and told him all the truth. And he said unto her, daughter, thy faith hath made thee whole. Go in peace and be whole of thy plague. Now consider again, she'd been blessed, she'd been given faith, but she was fearful. And it reminds us, particularly in early days, for a young convert, they may still have fears. But here she was, she was faithful. What was Jesus going to say? She was trembling. What was Jesus going to say? What does he say to her in verse 34? Daughter, thy faith hath made thee whole. Go in peace and be whole of thy plague. Well, let's open this up for the remainder of the time. We're thinking here of at the feet of Jesus with peace in the soul. First of all, she was owned. And he said unto her, daughter. She was fearful. Remember again, she well knew the law of separation, Leviticus 15. She wasn't allowed to go to a place of worship because she was unclean. She had to keep her distance. She was fearful. She came behind our Lord. She was so humble. She felt so unworthy. Just a touch and then I can go away. All be well, I can just go away. But the Lord saw her. There she is at his feet, trembling. What's he going to say to me? Daughter, you belong to the Father and you belong to me. What a blessing to be at the feet of Jesus in a spiritual way and hear the Lord say, son, daughter, there's nothing to fear. If you're a Christian, there's nothing to fear. You're in the family. One may lack assurance at times. A number of believers are troubled with assurance. Jesus says, son, daughter, you belong to me, you're in the family. What a blessing to belong to God. This morning we considered the greatness of God. Remember those disciples, they fell down. They were struck with the greatness and the holiness of God. Yet we're in the family. He's our Father. He owns us. We see in Ezekiel, mine, he says of the Lord's people. You're mine. There's nothing to fear. We may feel our sin. The devil reminds us of past sins. You're mine, daughter. With what tenderness Jesus speaks, daughter. He wanted to assure her. There's no need to fear. And the Lord wants to assure you, dear child of God. There's no need to fear. You belong to me. There's no separation. You're in the family. I look on you as a son, I look on you as a daughter. His union with Christ, my beloved is mine and I am his. And Jesus delights to remind his people that they belong to him. Having said this, let us live each day in a way that shows forth that we belong to him. He owns us. The great God of heaven, the great King of the church owns us. We're not our own. We were bought with a price and he's received us into the family. He's embraced us. Live in light that we belong to him. What peace to know we are in the family. Do you know this peace? Has the Prince of Peace made it plain to you? You're in the family. She's fearful. She's trembling. What's she going to say? Daughter, and peace begins to fill our heart. But that's not all. Secondly, the Lord speaks of her faith, and he said unto her, daughter, thy faith hath made thee whole. Simply upon the event of faith, because of my blessing and my righteousness, there's been blessing for you. There's been justification. But also I have dealt with thee in a physical way. You notice here the Lord speaks of her faith. And more peace fills her heart. Jesus acknowledges my faith. Now consider the scene here. The woman was fearful. She was trembling. But Jesus speaks of her faith. What a help that is. One may be fearful and trembling. Does he really love me? Does he really accept me? Jesus speaks of faith. You see, he sees it in the soul. He's taken notice of the one who has embraced him in the arms of faith. As we see in Psalm 2 verse 12, he knows and he speaks of it. Your faith is there, dear child of God. Sometimes one may feel their faith is small, but it's there. And Jesus speaks of it. The devil may come and whisper, have you really got faith? The king says. And he takes note of your faith. Daughter, by faith, what a blessing. If Jesus from heaven tonight sees faith in your soul, it may not be strong, but he sees it there. Thy faith hath saved thee. Thy faith hath made thee whole. You consider the Lord who knew. He knew that the woman had approached him in faith. She was struggling, she was fearful, but he knew that she had approached him in faith. Does the Lord look on your faith tonight? What a blessing to have faith. What a gift it is, a precious gift. For through the gift of faith, we receive the unspeakable gift. What a blessing to look on Jesus. By faith, to trust him, to see him in the word, to be able to think on him with delight, to know that he died for me at Calvary. Are you looking? What a blessing to have faith in Jesus and to trust him in these days. It is a day of small things, but are we not learning the preciousness of faith? What a blessing to have faith. Daughter, she knows she belongs to God. Peace begins to fill her soul, but then more peace begins to fill. For the Lord speaks of faith, thy faith. But then consider further, she was healed. What do we read in verse 34? Thy faith hath made thee whole. The fountain has stopped. The plague was past now. But more than this, there had been healing for the soul. And that is so precious. And she's assured of it here. We noted in the following words, go in peace. And she would be assured that there had been healing for the soul. By nature, one is spiritually dead. And under condemnation, there's no spiritual life from the Lord. But when the Lord heals in the spiritual way, there is forgiveness. And there's a new affection. We thought earlier how sin has affected every faculty of the soul. But when there's a healing, there's a new affection. I love thee, Lord Jesus. One's been forgiven. There's a healing for the soul in other ways. One has an affection. One thinks about the Lord now. As we think of forgiveness, we read in Isaiah 33, verse 24, and the inhabitants shall not say, I am sick. The people that dwell therein shall be forgiven their iniquity. You see, their healing in that place is seen as forgiveness. I'm not sick now. All my sins have been forgiven me, as we see there in Isaiah 33. Peace continues to fill her soul. Daughter, thy faith hath made thee whole, there's been healing, yes, physically, but also spiritually. She wasn't turned away. She was received by Jesus. What a blessing that is. And then consider thirdly, she's told this, go in peace. Daughter, thy faith have made thee whole, and fourthly rather, go in peace. And such peace now fills her heart. Such words of comfort. Here she is at the feet of Jesus. I've been received. I know I belong to him. He's taken note of faith in my soul. There's been healing. Now he tells me to go in peace. What words of comfort. Go in peace. We just consider the scene again. She had touched the garment of our Lord, and then she had drawn back. She came behind, she just wanted to touch. She believed if she touched the garment, she would be made whole, and then she would draw back. The Lord sees her, she comes, and she's trembling. She's fearful before Jesus. But she's told, go in peace. There's nothing to fear at the feet of Jesus if we look to him by faith. Go in peace. You've been received. I love you in a special way. You have faith. I bless you. You can go on your way. Go in peace. All is well. You don't need to be fearful. You don't need to tremble. Yes, I am a great and a holy Saviour, but I love you, and I have such tenderness in my heart for you. And I will help you and bless you and lead you and guide you. You can go in peace. And what Jesus said to those disciples in the upper room, peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you, not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. You think of the world's peace, it doesn't last long, does it? It seems like many years pass since the Second World War and the war in Europe, but suddenly there's war in Europe again. Peace doesn't last long. There have been conflicts in between, hasn't there? Soon we get troubled in this world, but the peace that Jesus gives will be lasting. Yes, we get perplexed, and we need to hear more again and again the words that Jesus spake, peace I leave with you, but this peace will last forever. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. No need to be troubled. You may be troubled, stirred up. What's going to happen in the future? And people can come alongside and help you, and that's good. But sometimes people can say certain things, and it doesn't help you. But Jesus always helps. He knows what to say. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Yes, it's helpful when another Christian tells us, but when Jesus tells us, it can so enter the soul. When the Lord speaks to the soul, let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. I was talking to a minister from Scotland yesterday, and he was telling me of something that he's sorrowful about. And I said this, Jesus said, be not afraid, only believe. And he with tears acknowledged those words. You see how Jesus can speak, peace I leave with you. Here's this lady, there's peace for you. You can go on now. I bless you, and I'm going to bless you again and help you. You've known fear, you've known what it is to tremble at my feet, but I want you to know peace. Go in peace, you can. We can go in peace if Jesus is standing at our right hand. You can go. I will never leave you nor forsake you. Go in peace. All is well. Notice the final words in verse 34. And behold thy plague. Interesting words, aren't they? She's already been made whole. But here Jesus assures her, go in peace, you be assured. All is well. Your sins are forgiven, and I'm going to help thee in every situation. Go in peace. You can go on tonight. Go in peace. There's activity, a going. Children, you know, it speaks of activity, doesn't it? To go. Go in peace. All is well. You look to me. You trust me. Keep turning to the Lord, the Prince of Peace. And you can lie down in the end of the day, Psalm 4, verse 8, I will both lay me down in peace and sleep, for thou, Lord, only makest me dwell in safety. I will lay down. Oh, for our last thoughts each day to be on Jesus, the Prince of Peace. I will both lay me down in peace. I'm going off to bed tonight, trusting Jesus. And then at the end of life, I'm trusting thee, Lord Jesus. Struggles come. Peace can be disturbed. Go again to the Prince of Peace. What does Jesus say to you, dear brothers and sisters in Christ? Go in peace. You may be something saying, but something still troubling me. You turn to me. You trust me. He's more than able to carry. I love this wonderful truth that Jesus carries all his people here below. And he carries billions. I used to be able to pick up some of my children at once. I can't do that at all now. Jesus carries all his children at once. Let's rest in him. Amen. Amen. Let us pray. Oh, gracious God, we thank thee for the Saviour. And as we were reminded by you this morning that we're to listen to him, help us to listen to him. Lord, may our ears be open. May our ears be open when we're perplexed and cast down. Open our ears, Lord, that we would hear the Prince of Peace. If we lack assurance at times, open our ears that we would hear the Prince of Peace. Open our ears that we would hear him speaking. And help us to listen to him as we go tonight, that we would go in peace. For any without Christ, they do not know that peace, for they are spiritually dead. Oh, that please thee that thou art work in their hearts as thou didst work in the heart of that lady all those years ago. Put faith within. Oh Lord, may we be found often at the feet of Jesus in a spiritual way. Oh Lord, for that's the best place we can be till we get to heaven. Oh Lord, help us, we pray. And we do pray that we would trust in thee, Lord Jesus. Help us to be going forth in life. And may we rejoice that we're going forth to heaven and a wonderful eternity. Hear us, O God, all praise be to thee. For Christ's sake. Amen. 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 We turn to our final praise. Psalm 4. Psalm 4, verses 4 to 8, and the tune is Wallace. Fear and sin not, talk with your heart, on bed and silent be. Offerings present of righteousness, and in the Lord trust ye. Oh, who will show us any good, is that which many say, but of thy countenance the light, Lord, lift on us alway. I will both lay me down in peace, and quiet sleep will take, because thou only me to dwell in safety, Lord, thus me.
Fear and sin not, talk with your heart, on bed and silent deep, offerings present of righteousness, and in the Lord.
Upon thee and give thee peace. Amen.
Amen.